passed out to you guys several months back, and I said, you know, I'm just going to do this. And so I've been going through this Bible study plan, and just, I don't know, every day it seemed like God had something specifically targeted for me. And I was just eating it up. Okay, now I know why I'm not finding all my underlined verses, is because I took my NIV and this is the ESV. So I thought, gosh, I know I was reading this section. Why I don't? That's why. So, but one, I think one of my favorite sections was in Psalm 37, and this was a verse that came right in the midst of the visa debacle, where, you know, we went all through all this money and expense to get a visa to get into China, and yet the day before we go into China, it expired. So, yeah, it was multiple visits and extended stays at the Chinese embassy to get a new visa issued so we could go into China. This, you know, so all these things are going on, and there's so many unknowns. I mean, at the same time, there was some significant unrest in the western part of China when some Muslim terrorists drove around and shot people dead in the street. They drove their truck right into a crowd. I mean, it was bad. And I'm just reminded here as I'm sharing that we got some kids that need to do Sunday school. So why don't we let them go? Go. Sunday school kids off. Commercial break, basically, commercial break. So 2 to 7 behind that curtain, 8 to 12 over at Americana Grill. I see how it is. Yeah, wow. I think he wanted to have the mic. Yeah. Okay, so the situation developed in China. China does not like pastors, and I think that's one of the issues that we ran into, is they gave us the minimum possible period of time for our visas, and that's one of the bigger reasons why it expired so early. And so, you know, we just didn't know if there. In fact, when we first contacted our guide and interpreter about our need for her help, she just said, oh, they won't issue you one. She just was not optimistic at all. Okay, so this is the buildup. Wow, we were left behind. We didn't get to go into China. This situation developed that we were watching it on the news, and others were saying this is just not going to happen, and how much is this going to cost, and there's fines that were on our minds, and then there's getting our flight changed, and all these questions, all these issues. And I read Psalm 37 and 39 and 40, and it says, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. You know, when you're in the midst of a situation like that, and you read these words, it's not just, you know, religious garbledygook, you know, where your eyes get all glazed over and it has no meaning, it has no impact, it's just words on a page. No, when you're in the midst of something and you read that, it is like water to your soul. And I wrote that down on a card, and I stuck it in my pocket, and I did it. I ran to the Lord. I took refuge in him, and he delivered us. He delivered us from all of those situations, and we got ourselves back into China. And so it was powerful how much the word came alive over this mission trip. So that is my little story. I'm opening it up to all of you.
I was just up here, so I didn't want to go right away, but give some of you other people some more time to think about what to share here. I want to read 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. That kind of hit me hard today. There's a ton of verses like that in the New Testament, just talking about false teachers, false doctrine, and just there's some situations that I've been hearing about through different people on Facebook and whatnot, and just very cautious about this stuff. You know, there's false teachers back in the day at the beginning of the church. False teachers now abundantly. I mean, there was a guy that had a ton of followers that put up tons of money, billboards across the world saying that the world was going to end like May 20. Well, it didn't happen, so it's not important. Well, coincidentally, like in October or something, it's going to happen this time, I guess. He wasn't right the first three times either, so I'm not too worried about that. But anyway, I'm talking about this because this is a verse that I read this morning, and there was something that I really wanted to share for the last couple weeks. When I was in Michigan, one of Sarah's grandmother, I believe, had a couple books, and she let me look through them, and one of them was this book called Heaven Is for Real. And I read it, and Sarah was reading it, and first time through, I just kind of glanced through it, and then she read it, and then I was like, wait a minute, I want to read this like right now. It was really good. And I was trying to be cautious about it, just because, you know, this isn't the Bible. The Bible is our ultimate authority. It's scripture given to us from God, written by men through the Holy Spirit. So this is our foundation for faith, the Holy Scriptures. Other books aren't. But so I waited and waited, prayed about it, and I just talked to one of the pastors before church here about it and what he was thinking. So anyway, I got the go-ahead and just got some, just felt like I should share this today, finally. I've wanted to share it for a while. This book, I really encourage you guys, that if you got some time, that this is some pretty light reading, but it's got some really powerful stuff in it. Heaven Is for Real is the name of the book. Todd Burpo is the author, I guess. Anyway, the way this book reads is true story, that this pastor is going through just horrendous trials, and his people in church were calling him Pastor Job because it was getting so bad, pretty much. So it was pretty bad, obviously. And then he lost a daughter at a young age, and then he's got his 3-year-old son who's going through some serious health issues and in the hospital. And that's about the first like 4 chapters of the book, which I kind of skimmed over to get to the juicy stuff. But honestly, what happens is God answers the guy's prayers. The kid's saved, returns to normal health, and after that event, there's just the kid and him get into some interesting conversations where the kid just starts talking about Jesus for some reason, just randomly. And the pastor's getting a little curious about it and concerned because, he's only like 3 or 4. Like, these are some kind of interesting things you're saying. So what I like about this book is that he very carefully made sure that he wasn't planting any seeds into this kid about stuff that happens in Scripture, like other than him going to Sunday school and stuff. Like, the pastor wasn't like feeding him, you know, like, you know, if you saw Jesus, like you saw the marks on his hands. He didn't say anything like that. He just kind of let the kid just tell it as the kid saw it. And sure enough, the kid starts talking about markers and like, what are markers and where are they? Well, they're red and they're here and they're on his feet. So anyway, it's a great story. I'm trying to think of something to share just off the top of my head here. Like there's one situation where the pastor was conducting a funeral and they're walking in and the kid walks in and he just goes hysterical. So there's the casket and he keeps on asking his dad, did this guy know Jesus? And he just goes hysterical. And finally, the parents just got to pull him out of there because, you know, it's kind of disrespectful, you know, with the family mourning there and stuff. And this kid's going off about, well, did he believe in Jesus or not? There's stuff like that. There's interesting stuff where this boy believes that he was in the throne room of God and actually got to see Jesus, talk to Jesus, hanged out with him, sat on his lap, talks about meeting John the Baptist, all kinds of interesting stuff. And the good stuff is that his dad didn't feed him any answers, I believe, and that everything he says, you can pinpoint in Scripture pretty much. And it's like, well, he's a 3-year-old kid. How does he know this stuff? I mean, honestly. So anyway, I just wanted to share that this book has really given me a lot more zeal lately, just looking into Scripture even more, because it personalizes it a little more, because this kid supposedly experienced somehow going to heaven. And just what it does for me is makes me think more about what is heaven going to be like and like looking forward to going to heaven and pleasing God here on earth, awaiting to go there to heaven. Because honestly, I lose my zeal pretty easily because just this world is just so sinful. It's just it's an evil place. Like the other day, someone stole my GPS. Boy, that really sucks. I was at Culver's and I had the windows open. I usually don't do that. And someone just reached in and they didn't take the suction cup. They just took the GPS. They didn't take the change in there or anything else. They just took the GPS. So, you know, it's just an evil world. That kind of stuff will really get on you. But there is hope that, you know, we were made for perfection. And it's coming soon enough. We just got to do our part here. We got to serve the Lord here. And soon enough, we'll find our reward in heaven. So anyway, if you guys want to check out this book, I'd strongly encourage it. It's good. There's another book that I'm going to start reading called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. Yeah, I just bought that one. And that's all about, that's not like a firsthand experience or anything like that. It's theological, just diving into the Scriptures and pulling out, you know, what is heaven really like? What kind of characteristics can we find in Scripture? So that'll be, I know that's a really good book. So anyway, I just wanted to share those two things.
I didn't know if you were going to say anything or what, but okay. So anyway, what's really been on my mind this past week was, well, basically this week has been on my mind from since Jonathan came on Sunday, and I just wanted to, mostly this weekend went very well. Being able to go to Ames and everything was really quite a blessing that I really probably God knew I needed. And so anyway, I had gotten the offer on Tuesday from Jenny to go, and I wasn't sure if I should go because I really didn't feel I belonged there at a wedding I didn't know the people to. So anyway, that took me a little bit and a lot of prayer, but God encouraged me to go. So on that Friday, we got to Stone Brook, and right at next to the water tower, they were having their international picnic. So I went over there and got a chance to meet some people. There were mostly Chinese people there, actually, which is kind of ironic because you're coming from Hong Kong. But I also met Tim Hibbing there, along with Jessica and Blair, and I finally got to see London, so it all works out. And I met a lot of Christians there, and it was pretty cool. I played frisbee and all that stuff. It's not very often you get to say you're the only white person and a bunch of Chinese people playing basketball, so it was great, and they had a lot of food. So anyway, after that, anyway, the next day was the wedding, and we were getting ready, and I got to go over and see Titus and some of the brothers from Faith Walkers, so that was pretty awesome. And then being over at their house and the things that happened, they gave me a little bit of quiet time to just read the Bible and read some verses. And I mostly read, I think I had to read a new version. I think it was like the ESV or something. The way they had it was, I think I spent most of my time in Matthew again, reviewing the judging others and all that stuff. And you can't take the, before you can judge the speck in one eye, you have to take the log out of your own. So, and it really opened up again, really helped me to open up again and just realize that I need to stop judging again, because I had been judging a little bit for I don't know what reasons. But anyway, the whole, when I had went to the wedding and saw what was going on and got to meet some people, glad I got to see the Bovenmeyers again, that was awesome. But anyway, the whole wedding ceremony and the message there was basically that when you get into a relationship, that God sets it all up. So if anything, it taught me that I need to just let go. When it comes to the whole relationship thing, I'd been struggling with that and wondering how long I'd be single when I really shouldn't be worrying about it. So just let God set it up and things will all work out. And then eventually then after the whole wedding thing was over and I got to catch up with some of the guys, on Sunday, we actually left, well, which would be today, we actually left around 5:15. Jenny Larson, lucky for me, she was up, and so we ended up taking off and got back around 8:30-ish. And then I started, sat down a little bit and rested. And then I came back here and realized, or I was on my way here and I realized that I had had a lot of fun in Ames and learned a lot. And while I was having all this fun in Ames, you guys were here. And something popped into my mind that, hey, these guys, like the Borseth family, the Schmollsch Reeds, and the Bowers and Darcy and all you guys, you basically left Ames to come here and preach the gospel. And after how much fun I had in Ames with all the buddies that you guys got to know, I mean, it just opened my eyes to the sacrifice you guys made, and I just thought that it was really quite something that you would leave a place like Ames where it was so, I mean, Stonebrook is a great church full of Christians, and it just opened my eyes and to realize, wow, you guys made a huge sacrifice to come down here and help us out and plant a church and change people's lives. And I thought I'd just come up here today to say that I thank all you guys for that, because it's really meant a lot in my life. And without you guys, I probably wouldn't have got to know God. And not only me, but I know other people here feel the same way. So I just wanted to come up here and explain that and thank you all for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's good to see the recognition from somebody up here who's been down there. Thank you. What I wanted to share is something that struck me out of Faith Walker's devotional that we get on this last week. Rob Gerber is the person who wrote it, and it's from an actual Faith Walker's conference 2 years ago in 2010. And the verse that he's writing about is in Song of Songs, verse 16, and it says, "My lover is mine and I am his." And he writes, "The verse above sounds romantic. It's about an intimate relationship, but that's what God wants with us. So my third way to love God is to be his. Realizing I am his and he is mine helps me grow in intimacy with him. At the Faith Walkers conference, I saw my friend's six-month-old baby and wanted to hold him. He was sleeping, but woke up with a jostling as I took him. When he looked up and realized he was being held by someone he didn't belong to, he started to panic. But when he heard his mother's voice and saw his parents, he instantly calmed down. He knew he was okay. And that's how it should be for us. Knowing we belong to God and that he is right there with us fosters intimacy, familiarity, and comfort. The morning I was to speak at Faith Walkers, I woke up feeling anxious. Two things were on my mind, my message and a missing shingle. You might understand about the talk. I wanted to be sure to say what God wanted me to say, but there was a shingle gone from the roof of my house, and I hadn't had time to replace it before coming. Rain was predicted for Wisconsin, so I was worried about that. However, I sat up in bed and talked to God about both of these. God was close and interested. One issue seemed important and the other trivial, but there's a peace in knowing that God understands it all. He's my lover. He knows me intimately. He's walked through life with me. There's a comfort in knowing I belong to him and he is always there. Do you know that you belong to him and that he belongs to you? Realizing this will help you grow in love for him." And Rob Gerber's got such good things to say, but it just really struck me this week that I belong to God. I am his and he is mine. And no matter how trivial the prayer or the need or the matter, he is there to listen and comfort and to take care of it all, you know? And so it's a good reminder for me that, you know, no matter what happens, God is there. You know, even if you have to go through the trials, the refining fires of life, and it seems like he's distant, he's not. You just have to pray and he'll be there listening to you and sharing your pain. So that's what was encouraging to me this week. All right, I have lots of stories, but I'm not going to tell them today, and I will save them for next week. But I just wanted to say it's good to be home, and it's nice to be back.
Oh, I just want to give time. Any big concerns here? You were a little afraid to mention or anything? Because I'm going to embarrass you and have you come up and share. No. Okay. Well, indeed, next week we get to try to organize our thoughts a little bit. And so much to share. I just wanted to... maybe tag off of you, Josh, a little bit there, you know, on the issue of sacrifice. In Luke 14, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." As he was doing his ministry, that was the part of the love for humanity that he was enduring and that he was willingly giving. And he just wanted us to know this is how we can share, by considering sacrifices as part of something in a worthy cause. And we'll talk about this next week, how many people, you know, just person after person that we met. But my point is, you really don't know. I have two points. One is, you really don't know who's going to be affected. Like what you said, Val, about your Facebook things, and you don't know who's going to read it, who's going to be affected by it. We have many people that we met on the plane. Tim and I were delayed 3 or 4 days from getting into China. And I met a young man who was going to be a freshman at Michigan State. His name is Ken. His American name is Ken. And he just was a soft heart and was a little worried about would he be able to make friends there. And I haven't done it yet. I will do it today. I told him, I think I can get you hooked up with some people because I know some people there. And you don't know if it is Ken or a Joseph that I met, in a camp, or whether it's a steward or stewardess on the plane, or somebody behind the airplane counter. You just don't know. In all of the lives that you can meet in a couple of weeks, what impact you will have, what advertisement, what ambassadorship you have in displaying God to humanity, you don't know. But the cause is worth it. And, we endured over 30 hours sitting in a seat. That's pretty hard, especially if you're boxed in and you're in the middle. And if you have to go potty, you have to wait till the person next to you does, or, excuse me, could you let me out? Or could I just climb over you? Or whatever, you know. That was... probably most difficult for me. I just cannot sleep on a position like that. And then when first night we got to the camp in Hangzhou, we slept on bamboo, about that thick, and on a board, yeah, softer board, yeah. And so we didn't sleep that night either. And I was just encouraged with this. I have been so many times in my little Christian life remembering this. I remember the first time that we, as a church, had a retreat. We went to Webster City, Iowa, and there was a bookstore there. Mark Darling was from Webster City. We had some contacts there with people that he knew. And after this, the little message part, we stayed on the concrete floor in the back of this bookstore. And I don't sleep well on concrete either. And I thought, you know, Paul, among his list of things that God had brought Paul to endure was sleepless nights. And we've had sleepless nights, all of us have, for many different causes. It is worth it if our lives are affecting people. It's a small thing. It's part of the territory. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have their nests. Son of Man didn't have a place that he could call home. He was an itinerant preacher for those 3 years and just on mission. And we are too. And it is worth it to be such. We need to understand that is who we are. When Jesus talked to his disciples about their character, he said, this and this and this is not true with you. This is what we are. He didn't get mad at them and say, what is the matter with you guys? He simply said, this is what you have become part of when you trusted me. And so love has sacrifices that it willingly gives. That's my thought. Very good. Yes, let's do that. Yeah, we could pass that out. Thank you. Jesus told us to remember him in this way. And since I've mentioned Luke 14 there of Jesus' sacrifices on our behalf, one of them was he had no home. And he asked us to remember him in this way. The bread, and just so many thoughts about this. I'm glad we do this every week because there is a lot that we can gain from remembering him. But when I have the bread, I don't know if anybody thinks this way, I just think it's squishy, and Jesus had a squishy body. I mean, he actually became flesh and blood. I don't know if that's why he picked bread, but probably just because it was common. And of course, the juice reminding us of his blood. Without the shedding of blood from the very beginning in the garden, God killed an animal to clothe Adam and Eve. So there was a picture that it was going to require blood, a death, in order to redeem you and me. And we remember that here as we take the bread and the cup. God's humility in coming to earth, taking on human flesh. And Philippians 2 says to have this same attitude in yourself, just like Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be clutched, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. And then being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself further by becoming obedient to the point of death, even an embarrassing and shameful death on a cross. And so I think I'll just pray here since my daughter's not here to play the nice little music in the background. And we will remember Jesus. We will remember his death. We will remember his resurrection. We will remember that we are doing this until he comes. And then we'll be with him. And he can squeeze us. So I think we're just about there. Everybody has... Unless, do you guys, do you? Oh. What? What have I held? I don't know. Huh. All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you've given us this thing to do. That you set this up, Jesus, that you said, remember me in this way until I come. Thank you, Jesus, that you are coming again. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. Thank you that you paid a price we couldn't pay. Thank you that you were sinless and that you shed your blood as a sufficient payment for all of our sins. Jesus, thank you that you gave us this opportunity to remember you. So we take the bread this morning and we take the juice and we remember your body, we remember your blood, we remember the new covenant that is made in your blood, that we can have a free access into your presence because of the merits of Jesus. Thank you this morning, in Jesus' name.
Good morning, everyone. It is almost afternoon, and then we can eat lunch. Sorry, I'm hungry. Just a quick reminder, anyone who wants to financially support the work that God does through our church, we have a giving tower over there you can place your gifts in. Top news story of the week, Tim Dot, Bob, and Darcy are back. Yay! We are so glad to have you guys back. Man, it was tough this week. It's like, man, I wish I could talk to Darcy. Man, I wish I could talk to Tim. Kristen, I know your pain. It's tough when they leave. Next week they'll be up here with the couch doing couch time and talking to us about their trip. We should coin that phrase, couch time. I like that. Okay, anyway, sorry, I'm a little distracted this morning. So they'll be here next week sharing all sorts of things about their trip. Please come, because I'm sure they have lots to tell. Last week we did a general thank you for Nordic Fest, but this week we want to specifically thank Carl and Rex and Anya and everyone else who helped work on the float and helped do things to make Nordic Fest happen. Excuse me. It was a lot of work and a good work, and we're really glad you guys were able to do that with us. And Jenny. Okay, well, we'll thank Jenny too when you see her. Let's see. Okay, where am I? The rest of August. Okay, August is almost over, but it's going to be pretty quiet until the end of August. But beginning in September,